Welcome to Poolesville Presbyterian Church. We are located in the town of Poolesville in western Montgomery County, Maryland. Poolesville Presbyterian Church is a member of the National Capital Presbytery. You are always welcome to join us as we worship our Lord every Sunday morning at 10:30. Our scripture reading comes from the book of Romans, chapter 5, verses 1 through 11, in his message titled, Endurance, Character, and Hope. Reverend David Williams tells us that we are gathered here for the last time for an unknown amount of time. We are held together by a bond of hope. This is a call to us to respond in grace to others. Let us now join Reverend Williams as he explains God's Word.
Please be seated. So how are we doing? How are we feeling today? Great. We do wish it wasn't allergy season. That would be nice, a nice reassurance of us being fine. But I know we come into this space today with just the tiniest little bit more anxiety than we perhaps typically feel. Things are challenging and unusual in our world in ways that I don't think many of us have encountered before. Has anyone lived through anything like this before? Anyone? I don't think even in my parents' lifetimes. It goes back a ways, goes back generations since we've had to cope with something like this. And the challenge is that doesn't always rest easy on our hearts. It doesn't always make us feel comfortable, and it can be tense for our faith, tense for our souls, and tense as we interact with one another and try to cope graciously with what looks to be a very challenging time. And as we step into this space, it's important that we acknowledge that. It's important that we admit that this is something that's going to take a little bit of getting used to and a lot of our deepest spiritual reserves. So right now, acknowledging that maybe we're not in as good a place as we normally are, let's admit that to God and do so in our prayer of confession, which is in our bulletin. Please join with me in praying it. Almighty and loving God, we look around at the world and we're honestly a little freaked out. Things are confused and difficult, and we're worried about our families and our friends and a future that seems completely uncertain. It is easy in our stress to turn on one another or to become paralyzed by the huge, dangerous mess of it all. Remind us in our anxiety that the hope we find in you transcends all these things. Help us to find the strength that lies in you and the faith to live by your grace in all things. In Christ we ask this. Amen. Now listen for the assurance of God's pardon. The mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. I declare to you, in the name of Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. May the God of all mercy, who forgives us all our sins, strengthen us in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep us in eternal life. Amen. Today's third scripture reading is drawn from Paul's letter to the church at Rome. I'll be reading from Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. You can follow along on page 155 of your New Testament. Let us listen a third time for God's holy word. Paul writes, "Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand, and we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. And not only that, but we also boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. Indeed, rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person someone might actually dare to die. But God proves his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more surely then, now that we have been justified by his blood, will we be saved through him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more surely, having been reconciled, will we be saved by his life. But more than that, we even boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Gracious God, grant that the words of my mouth and the meditations in the hearts and in the minds of each and every one gathered be acceptable in your sight, O our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, things sure are interesting, aren't they? It's times like this that you can appreciate that old Chinese curse. You know, may you live in interesting times. You don't really get that till you're doing it, I think. And we're definitely there now. I think the challenge right now in this moment isn't necessarily that it's strange and unfamiliar. It's that it feels like a story we've seen or read before. You know, like we're suddenly an extra in a film that we don't want to be cast in. Honestly, I would rather be a Jellicoe cat than an extra in this film. It's just something we know. We know this story. Anyone seen 12 Monkeys? 12 Monkeys? Really good film. Don't watch it now. Anyone seen Dustin Hoffman in Outbreak? Outbreak? No. Not a family movie night film now, no. And do not pick up the library's closed here now, right? Is it closed? Yeah. Did anyone pick up a copy of Stephen King's The Stand? Yeah. No one did. Good. I'm glad to hear that, because you don't want that. We've seen and read this story, and we don't really like it. It was kind of fun when we first watched it. It was like, ha, ha, ha. They were like, ooh, this is scary. And it's better when it's a book or a film. It just feels odd. Like, I spent the last couple of days, it being spring break, up in Garrett County, Maryland, where my in-laws have a house near Deep Creek Lake and near Wisp Ski Resort, where there's been one good week of skiing this year, which we missed. We were thinking we were going to do it, but it was 60 and raining, and that just didn't seem like ski weather. So we were up there for what we thought was going to be this brief window of precious time with our college-age sons. Evidently, that's going to be a much longer window of precious time with our college-age sons. But then news kept trickling in, and the whispers of college closings began to spread. And, you know, honestly, I am fine with more time. I feel good having them close. What I am less fine with, our house will be loud for the next Lord knows how long, which is great. I'm less fine with this ambient sense that everyone everywhere is suddenly all focused on exactly the same thing. Like suddenly we share this concern. Like I went to a Walmart in Oakland, Maryland, just a day or two ago, and every single group of people I passed was talking about the same thing. They were all talking about the same thing in some variant or making some joke about toilet paper or Purell, and looking around at one another and listening carefully when you heard anybody cough. It just felt like the ambient energy was all the same thing. Like when Rach and I and the boys settled in at a little brew pub in downtown Oakland just to have a little break. And the waiter wanted to check my older son and his girlfriend's IDs. And he said, as he checked them, "I just want to make sure you guys aren't from Montgomery County." Joking, not joking. We said we were from Virginia, and I didn't mention where I worked. And then I would stop in regularly at the Shop and Save in McHenry, where that completely failed ski season means that the Shop and Save in McHenry, Maryland, is completely full of stuff. They've got a ton of extra stock, shelves just brimming over with great plump packs of toilet paper, and just as much food and bread and produce and meat as you could want. Better start driving now, people. Better start getting out there. And every time I was there, the people I would pass would say the same thing. There was a man dressed in camo overalls talking to an older woman, and he was saying, "Yeah, I heard the president talk last night," and she was saying, "Yep, this just isn't good." And she kept saying that, "This just isn't good." And so I actually thought it was kind of good there was toilet paper there, and I bought some because I'm going to have, again, two large college-age kids with us, and the toilet paper I had purchased 3 weeks ago, along with all the canned food I purchased 3 weeks ago, wasn't going to be enough for the four of us. And then I bought a newspaper because whenever I'm there, I buy a newspaper. It's a tradition that goes all the way back to the pre-internet era. But now I mostly buy it so that my wife and sons can work on the crossword puzzle together. And even the newspaper was a little unsettling, because I look at the headline of the newspaper. And I get home and I say to my younger son, "Doesn't this look kind of like the front page you'd see for just a moment in a movie? Water stained and being tossed by the wind as it tumbled down an empty street?" And he said, "Yep, that's exactly what it looks like." And I said, "That's what I thought." And then they got on to working on the crossword, which was a little less fearsome. Things are stressful right now, and they're not really looking to get less stressful anytime soon, as we take the necessary steps that we have to take as we as a community and as a nation and as families and as persons deal with this pandemic. And we're doing what we can. We'll keep doing it. But it's hard, because even when you're doing what you know you need to, you have to do, who here feels like everything's under control? Right? Anyone feel like they've got, like the situation is completely in hand? I don't know if y'all are shaking your heads on the far end there, but there's not a lot of, "Oh yeah, I feel like I've got it. This is under control." This is beyond us. Our plans, our expectations about what we're going to be doing moving forward just feel so uncertain. And all of us, of course, are completely comfortable with this kind of uncertainty, right? No one is. Human beings don't like this kind of uncertain, and everything feels so unsettled. But again, it's both unsettled and unsettlingly familiar. Again, we know this story. We've seen this play out in the tales of our culture, the things that we would tell ourselves to alternately frighten and amuse us. The novels I've written, for example. I mean, they're a lot like that. But we don't want this to happen. We don't want it for our loved ones. We don't want it for our friends. We don't want it for ourselves. We don't want it for the people we don't particularly like either. We don't want this happening in any way at all because it is more than we feel we can handle. And so we scrounge about for information. We try to figure out our way through it. We try to find a way to control what is going on because it feels beyond us, which it is. And that is a truth about life. Life serves up times like this for all of us. Generally not all at once, but it does. If we are true to the telling, existence is not always butterflies and roses as much as we would like it to be. Stuff is hard and comes at us in unexpected ways, and our days are touched by challenges that seem beyond us, more often than not. And anyone who tells you life is going to be easy and nothing will ever challenge you is just trying to sell you something. That is not what we get from Paul today in Scripture, because the Apostle Paul may have been one of Christianity's greatest messengers, but he wasn't a pitch man. He was someone who told things straightforwardly most of the time. If you've read his letter to the church at Rome, you know that it is often not the most straightforward of things. Here, in the heart of that letter, Paul has just wrapped up some of the most complicated and also vital teachings in all of Christian faith. For 5 chapters, he has made the case to the sophisticated, erudite Romans that what matters in our relationship with Jesus is not that we totally get, understand, or have control over our relationship with Jesus or our lives. It is not that we have perfect actions or that we are, through any great merit of our own, going to make things right. Here in the first 5 chapters, Paul says what matters is that we have faith in the goodness of the message of Jesus. We have faith in who Jesus is and in what Jesus offers to us with a grace over which we have almost no control. In fact, we have no control at all. All we're asked to do is embrace that promise through faith. Paul goes further, though. He has, through most of this letter, laid out this complex circling argument about righteousness and faith and justice and promise. But here, for a few poetic moments, he steps outside of the theology and gives us this visceral image of the necessity of suffering and challenge and times that strain us. We also boast in our sufferings, he says, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not disappoint. Paul, who knew struggle, who knew challenge, who knew what it was like to be imprisoned, who knew what it was like to have the ship on which he was relying suddenly tossed by storm. Paul, who knew what it was like to be beaten, Paul, who knew what it was like to fear for his life, says this is actually kind of the test place for our faith. It is a vital part of faith that it be able to stand strong as a guide and a beacon in places of hardship and uncertainty. And it's what guides our action. And we will be taking action. It's not like faith eliminates the need for us to act in affirmative ways, to endure. What are we doing now to ensure that we endure? That's actually not a rhetorical question. What are we doing now? What are we doing to get through this time? Pitch me things. What are you doing to endure this time, to prepare for this time?
Better hygiene.
Better hygiene. How are we doing better hygiene? We're not touching people. We are washing our hands. We got Purell right there by the welcome at the front door. Precious, precious Purell. We're avoiding crowds. We are socially distancing. We are in this space fewer and sitting a little further apart. How else are we dealing with this time? How are we coping in our homes? What else are we doing to prepare?
Taxes.
We're doing taxes. Taxes. Oh, Lord. Yeah. Taxes. Making sure that we're doing our taxes, or so we hear from the gathered group, shows that we actually believe that we will be here and that it's worthwhile to do that. What else are we doing?
Teleworking.
We're teleworking. We're intentionally separating ourselves, but we are working because our work still matters. We're continuing to do those things because we feel that they still matter. What else do we have in our homes? How are we prepared?
Stocking up on food.
We have food stocks. Why? Because there aren't as many at Harris Teeter, first off. But why else are we doing that? Why are we stocking up on food?
We don't want to go out as much.
So we don't go out as much as part of that social distancing. We're doing those things. Why are we doing all of these things? Because there's a virus, and what is our assumption when we take these actions?
Safer.
We are assuming we will be safer. We are doing these things because we have the hope that even as trying and as anxiety producing as this time is, we have the hope that we will endure and survive. We have the hope that there is something beyond this moment. Because hope doesn't disappoint. Hope is the core and essence of what people need to do to survive and endure times of challenge. And it's a hope that runs to this life, but also a deeper hope in the purpose of a life lived with compassion and grace, that somehow that is grounded in God's intent for us. But hope is what allows us to get through times of challenge. In every study that has been done of survivors of catastrophic events, ships sinking at sea, planes crashing in the mountains, moments of inattention and the car goes tumbling down the valley side on a distant mountain road and you drag yourself out of the car, What is the one trait that survivors have in common? Hope. They don't give up. They don't give up. They understand that they're going to strive towards that hope no matter what. That is the most essential thing in every time of challenge. And Paul lays out that that is the thing that doesn't disappoint. Always turning yourself in hope, realizing that this time of challenge, and every time of challenge may test us, but its purpose is to give us an understanding of the place of challenge and struggle in life. Suffering produces endurance. Endurance produces character. Character produces hope. Hope does not disappoint, because it feeds back into all of those things. If you are in a time of suffering and you have hope, you endure. And if you endure, it builds you up, and that brings you to hope, which allows you to endure, which brings you to character, which brings you to hope. It's this virtual cycle that all of us are called to embrace in a time of challenge. And that is true in every place of challenge in life. If you've got a chronic illness, if you're dealing with a family that's in crisis, if you find yourself in a time of financial hardship, if you lose your job, if anything challenges you, it is always hope that gives purpose. And yeah, sure, maybe a global coronavirus pandemic is a little larger scale, but that doesn't change the principle, and it doesn't change God's gracious intent for us to find hope in all things and let hope be our foundation in all things. So as we move through this time, remember to endure. Remember that this time is a test of our character, and that our hope in Christ and our hope for the possibility, the very real possibility of pressing through to a time beyond this, is what will guide us now and always. Let that be so, for you and for me. Amen.
Thank you, Reverend Williams, for an inspiring message. The congregation of Poolsville Presbyterian Church would like to thank you, the listener, for joining us. And we hope that today's message helps you grow in God's grace. We end today's message with our benediction.
And so here we are, gathered, hopefully not for, it's not going to be too long. I'd like us to be back together by Easter. That would be nice. That would be a plus. But however long this takes, we know that we are held together by a bond of faith that gives us hope, that gives us the hope that no matter what it is we are struggling with, no matter what the challenges are before us, we can endure. And it's that hope that gives us call to act in gracious and right ways. It's that hope that strengthens us so that as we are tested, we'll find ourselves responding with grace. And if there is anything that we need now, it is that gracious, hopeful spirit. Not the spirit of anxiety, not the spirit of fear, not the spirit of anger, but a spirit of grace and forbearance. And so now, as we step out into a world that needs grace, forbearance, patience, and hope, let that spirit rest on your heart. And as you interact with people at an appropriate distance, let them perceive that hope coming from you. Let your witness to them be one that strengthens their souls in this trying time. So now, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with all of us today and tomorrow and our whole lives long. Amen.